Dear friends who come to celebrate this late hour, the eve of Christ's birth. We've heard a lot of scripture tonight read. I'd like to read to you another kind of scripture, not holy scripture, but more of an imagination of what might have been holy scripture. If perhaps Joseph had written a letter home to his mother, perhaps it would have read something like this. This letter, however, was written by a man named Ralph Wilson. Dear Mom, we're still in Bethlehem, Mary and I, and little Jesus. There were lots of things I couldn't talk to you about last summer. You wouldn't have believed me then. But maybe I can tell you now. I hope you can understand. You know, Mom, I've always loved Mary. You and Dad used to tease me about her when she was still a girl. She and her brothers used to play on our street. Our families got together for supper. But the hardest day of my life came scarcely a year ago when I was 20 and she was only 15. You remember that day, don't you? The trouble started after we were both betrothed and signed the marriage agreement at our engagement. That same spring, Mary had left abruptly to visit her old cousin Elizabeth in Judea. She was gone 3 whole months. After she got back, people started wondering about if she were pregnant. It was a cloudy day when I finally confronted her with the gossip. Mary, I asked her at last, are you going to have a baby? Her clear brown eyes met mine. She nodded. I didn't know what to say. Who? I finally stammered. Mom, Mary and I never acted improperly, even after we were betrothed. Mary looked down. Joseph, she said, there is no way I can explain. You wouldn't understand. But I want you to know, I've never cared for anyone but you. She got up, took my hands in hers, kissed each of them as if they were the last time that she would ever do that again, and then turned towards home. She must have been dying inside. I know I was. The rest of that day, I stumbled through my chores. It's a wonder I didn't hurt myself in the workshop. At first, I was angry, and I pounded out my frustrations on the doorframe I was making. My thoughts whirled so fast, I could hardly keep my mind on my work. At last, I just decided to end the marriage contract with a quiet divorce. I loved her too much to make a public scene. I couldn't talk to you, or anyone for that matter. I went to bed early and I tried to sleep. Her words came to me over and over. I've never cared for anyone but you. I've never cared for anyone but you. Oh, how I wished that I could believe her. I don't know when I finally fell asleep. Mom, I had a dream from God. An angel of the Lord came to me. His words pulsated through my mind so intensely I can remember them as if they were yesterday. Joseph, son of David, he thundered, do not fear to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I couldn't believe my ears, Mom. This was the answer. The angel continued, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The angel gripped my shoulders with his tight hands, his huge hands, and for a long moment his gaze pierced deep within me. Just as I turned to go, I thought I saw a smile on his shining face. I sat bolt upright in bed. No sleep after that. I tossed about for a while, going over the words in my mind. And then I got up and got dressed quietly so I wouldn't wake you. I must have walked for miles beneath the moonless sky. Stars pricked the blackness like 1,000 tiny pinpoints. Warm breeze blew in my face. I sang to the Lord, Mom. Yes, me, singing, if you can imagine that. I couldn't contain my joy. I told him that I would take Mary and care for her. I told him I would watch over her and the child, no matter what anyone said. I got back just as the sun kissed the hilltops. I don't know if you still recall that morning, Mom. I can see it in my mind's eye as if it were just yesterday. You were feeding the chickens, surprised to see me outside. Remember? Sit down, I said to you. I've got to tell you something. I took your arm and helped you find a seat on the big rock out back. Mom, I said, I'm going to bring Mary home as my wife. Can you help make a place for her things? You were silent a long time. You do know what you're saying, don't you, son? You said at last, your eyes glistening. Yes, Mom, I know. Your voice started to rise. If your father were still alive, he'd have some words, I'll tell you. Going about like that before you're married, disgracing the family and all. You and Mary ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You'd never have believed me if I tried to explain, so I didn't. Unless the angel had spoken to you, you'd have laughed me to scorn. Mom, this is the right thing to do, I said. And then I started talking to you as if I were the head of the house. When she comes, I don't want the one word about her to her about this, I sputtered. She's your daughter-in-law, and you'll respect her. She'll need your help if she's to bear the neighbors' wagging tongues. I'm sorry, Mom. You didn't deserve that. You started to get up in a huff. Mom, I murmured, I need you. You took my hand, you got to your feet, but the fire was gone from your eyes. You can count on me, Joseph, you told me with a long hug, and you meant it. I never heard another word. No bride could hope for a better mother-in-law than you in those next few months. Mom, after I left you, I went up to the road to Mary's house and I knocked. Her mother glared at me as she opened the door. Loud, harshly, she called into the house, "It's Joseph," almost spitting out my name as she said it. My little Mary came out crying, cringing, as if she expected me to give her the back of my hand, I suppose. Her eyes were red and puffy. I can imagine what her parents had just said to her. We walked a few steps from the house. She looked so young and afraid. "Pack your things, Mary," I told her gently. "I'm taking you home to be my wife." "Joseph!" She hugged me as tight as she could. "Mom, I didn't realize that she was so strong." I told her what I'd been planning. "We'll go to Rabbi Ben Ezer's house this week and have him perform the ceremony." I know it was awfully sudden, Mom, but I figured the sooner we got married, the better it would be for her, for me, and for the baby. "Mary, even if our friends don't come, at least you and I can pledge our love before God." I paused. "I think my mom will be there. And maybe your friend Rebecca would come if her dad will let her. How about your parents?" I could feel Mary's tiny frame shuddering as she sobbed quietly. "Mary," I said, I could feel myself speaking more boldly. "No matter what anyone says about you, I'm proud you're going to be my wife. I'm going to take good care of you. I promised God that." She looked up. I lowered my voice. "I had a dream last night, Mary. I saw an angel. I know." The anguish which had gripped her face vanished. She was radiant as we turned away from the house and began to walk up the hill together. And just then her mother came out of the yard. "Wait," she called. She must have been listening from behind the door. Tears were streaming down her cheeks. "I'll get your father," she called, almost giddy with emotion. She cried as she gathered up her skirts. "We," she shouted as she began to run to find her husband, "we are going to have a wedding." "That's how it was, Mom. Thanks for being there for us. I'll write again soon. Love, Joseph." You know, this time of the year, it's good to see families getting back together, see the kids coming home from college and coming to church on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, seeing grown-up kids come back home or parents come to visit, grandparents and grandkids getting together. It's good to see people again. But having grown up in a family like you did, I know there's another side to it too. Sometimes things don't go the way we planned. Sometimes we don't quite follow the expected path that our parents had laid out for us. Sometimes our kids don't seem to respect and honor perhaps the same things that we were taught to honor. There can be strains. There can be words. There can be emotions. And there can be conflict in families, even at Christmas. It's important to recognize that and not just to pass it by. It's important to recognize that and bring that to the Lord, our God. Our Lord is no stranger to such conflicts. Why, it was He who came down into earth, not to glorify Himself, but to end that eternal conflict between God and we humans. It was the Lord Jesus who became not our boss with power and might, but a king, but an infant king, who lived among us and who underwent the same conflicts that we go through, and yet without that rebellion and sin that so often takes our hearts. Our Lord, our God, Jesus, came down to bring us back to God, to heal that division, to lay down His life that we might come back to our Heavenly Father. Because that's God's will for us. We're always surprised when we have conflict, but there it was all through the Bible. Even the disciples and apostles had their conflicts with one another. We can expect that in our families. We can expect that in our church and in our community. But it's only through humbling ourselves, admitting our sins to God, yes, but to one another, that there can be any hope of healing and that peace that we want to have with those that we love. God, Jesus, is the source of such peace, who comes into our world as the Prince of Peace, who humbles Himself, and He says, if any of you want to be first, you must be last. It was said of Him that as we prepare the way for the Lord to come to us, that all the mountains should be made low and all the valleys should be raised up and filled in. Isaiah was not talking about geography there. He was talking about you and me. the pride that we have that can't admit any wrong that we've done to anybody else, that's got to be taken away. And that emptiness that we feel, it's got to be filled in with Jesus and his love for us. Yes, it's Christmas. We are together as God's people. We are together as God's family. We are together with the Lord because he has come to us. He gives us forgiveness, and he gives us the power to love, forgive one another as we confess our faults and our wrongs to each other. This is how we celebrate Christ with us. In his name, amen. And the peace that comes from the manger in Bethlehem enter your hearts, your homes, and your church this night. Amen.